It's nearly 11:30. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. As always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Monkey Banana by Fela Kuti here on WMNF. This is the late, great Fela Kuti with Monkey Banana. An animal tune of sorts as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And streaming live, of course, on the internet via our fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources as well. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We've always aimed for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're podcasting now, baby, including all our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life. With the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Allison Giannotto, a nationally recognized expert on animal abuse who created PetAbuse.com, a sprawling website and online resource that offers multiple services from providing information and education to the site's database functioning as a major tool relied on by law enforcement, prosecutors, and others across the country. We'll find out lots more about PetAbuse.com when Allison Giannotto joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. As always, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. And given today's guest and topic, we could hardly select a more appropriate announcement for our animal news and announcement section today. Florida Voices for Animals announces a $250 reward for information leading to the conviction of any suspect arrested in connection with a Florida animal cruelty case. A witness would have to speak with both investigating law enforcement to give them the info they need, as well as a member of Florida Voices for Animals to claim the reward. FVA is dedicated to ensuring that cruelty to animals is not tolerated in our community. Please contact Jody, FVVA board member, at vegtampabay.com. That's Jody, J-O-D-I, at vegtampabay.com. Or call 727-237-6233. That's 727-237-6223. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Dave Attell with a short piece called Parrots on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I thought I had a parrot on my shoulder. Did you ever get that? Nothing. I wish I had a parrot. I really do. And I wouldn't teach them dirty words or songs, no. I would teach them phone numbers and addresses and recipes. I'd use them more like a Palm Pilot, you know? Or I teach them things that might save my life, you know, like information, like, in case of an earthquake, get in the doorway. No one has freckles on their ass. Use a condom. Thank you, parrot. Here's a grape.
All right. That's Dave Attell here on the Comedy Corner on Talking Animals with a piece called Parrot, taken from his album Skanks for the Memories. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes and elsewhere. Also on our site, there are pieces written about us and pieces we've written. Plus, there's now a Talking Animals blog. There's also a place to subscribe to our email list so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and remind you when the next show will air on WMNF. That's TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time for a conversation with today's guest, Allison Giannotto. So let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I touched on a few moments ago, Allison is a nationally recognized expert on animal abuse and cruelty, who also happens to be a computer whiz and has authored two books on computer programming. Several years ago, in combining both elements of expertise, Allison created PetAbuse.com, and I want to note that there's a hyphen between pet and abuse for the website address, a sprawling website and online resource that seeks to reduce animal abuse through providing information and education. Moreover, the site's database has become a major tool relied on by law enforcement, prosecutors, and others across the country. The site also tracks and updates pertinent developments on pending legislation, can send out alerts on particular issues or court cases by region, and more. She's been recognized for this work in all sorts of ways, including being a finalist in Animal Planet's 2006 Hero of the Year Award. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Allison Giannotto to Talking Animals. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi there, Duncan.
Hey, welcome to Talking Animals, or welcome back, I guess I should say.
It's good to be back.
Great. Well, I know you've recounted this countless times, including once before on this show, but just to kind of provide a bit of history and context, maybe you could just sort of outline how you came to create PetAbuse.com.
Well, in 2001, someone stole a neighbor's cat from the property and set her on fire with a Molotov cocktail. And really, I kind of got involved because the cat's owner was a friend of mine, and the investigation was frustrating, to put it diplomatically. And I realized as we were going through this that there was really nothing out there. And because I happened to work with computers, it seemed like this was something that I could possibly contribute.
And I believe the cat in question was Bert.
Yes.
And for anyone who's visited petabuse.com, and again, I just want to emphasize throughout our chat that it's pet-abuse.com. So anyone who's visited the site or wants to visit it now, perhaps as we're chatting, can see that Bert was a handsome black cat. And because we're 2 days away from Friday the 13th, can we take just a moment and discuss what sometimes goes on with adopting of black cats, either for Friday the 13th or Halloween, and you know, sort of what the downsides of that might be?
Well, yeah, I mean, you get two different types of situations. Some people decide that they want a black cat around Halloween. They're normal people, for lack of a better word. But then it becomes more of a novelty. You know, it goes along the same lines of giving away animals for Christmas or for Easter. You know, once it's done as kind of a novelty, then once the novelty wears off, sometimes those animals are mistreated or neglected. And then you also get people who are a little bit more malicious, who will go out of their way to find, either through a low-cost adoption or strays, will find black cats around Halloween and torture them and hurt them. There are certain holidays that always make me cringe since I began my journey into animal welfare. 4th of July is always one of them, and
yeah,
Halloween is always one of them, where
yeah,
I know that the cases that are going to come out of that time frame are going to be some of the most horrific.
And we may come back to what would sort of be the natural question in a moment, which is, like, what, if anything, can we do about that? But that also may hook into to sort of what I had in mind just more generally. In introducing you, I alluded to a few aspects of PetAbuse.com, but maybe you could give us kind of the nickel tour of the services and resources the site offers.
Well, you know, every couple of months we seem to add more features to the services that we provide. Of course, the primary purpose is our animal cruelty database, which contains over 11,000 cases of animal cruelty, I believe over about 10,000 in the United States alone. We also provide a convicted animal abuser search, which is often used by adoption agencies, humane societies, that type of thing, so that before they place an animal with someone, they have something, because most of these places, they don't have the funding for background checks or anything like that. So to check whether or not someone who is looking to adopt has a history of animal cruelty. We also allow you to search by your zip code if you'd like to see what's going on in your neighborhood. We developed this because a lot of times when we're approaching people in communities, they really don't feel that animal cruelty is a problem in their area. And so we developed the zip code search and county search that gives you an idea of exactly what's going on where you are. Now, I'm in New York, and I can tell you that within 15 miles of my home, there are at least 20 cases, and I'm out in the middle of the sticks. I'm not in the city.
And is the idea behind providing that information, Allison, so not only people are generally aware, but is there a certain element of people, if they have the time or can make the time to, if there's a certain court case pending, is it sort of also to encourage them to attend these cases?
Oh, definitely. You know, because I speak at national conferences, I get a chance to talk to animal control officers across the country, and numerous times they have come up to me and said, you know, it's really great when people are able to show up in court. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to protest. They don't have to make signs. They don't have to wear anything special. But just the fact that there is support in that courtroom for that ACO and for that prosecutor really, really does make a difference. So obviously, whenever you can, we always try and provide the date and time. Sometimes we don't have access to that information. But if you do see a court case coming up on our website, always make sure that you call the courthouse. These things are changed last minute all the time. So, you know, make sure that before you get ready to attend a court date that you actually call the courthouse and confirm that date is still what it was.
Right, but sort of the companion piece to that, which is that the website is, I mean, as current as if you went on today, you could see a handful or more, unfortunately, of cases that are really scheduled to go on today. So it's obviously continuously updated and spans all kinds of regions so that, again, if people can or want to or just feel that they should turn up at these trials, once they just verify that it hasn't been postponed or whatever, head on out. So let me just let people know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Allison Giannotto, an expert on animal abuse and founder of the multifaceted online resource PetAbuse.com. Again, a hyphen between pet and abuse. You can join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663. Or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. So, given the obviously a huge purpose of this is to either A, keep people that have a known record. How far, by the way, back does the database that you alluded to go?
I know that we have some from 1940.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
okay.
Only a few, of course.
Yeah,
the ones that really stood out. But most of our cases are from 1990 and later.
Wow.
The primary focus is 2000 and later, simply because we started in 2001.
Sure.
And although we actually have boxes and boxes of old reports, old media reports, old police reports that we've been adding over the years, so we've been filling in that timeline of, like, 1990 to 2000. I would say I'm most comfortable with our representation of data from 2000 to present.
And given that sort of wealth of information there, and a lot of course, is intended to either A, keep someone who, is in that database for all the wrong reasons from, say, adopting an animal, or B, I guess part of what we'll maybe talk a bit more about even is how PetAbuse.com is used by law enforcement and prosecutors to either build a case and or put an animal abusing a-hole, if you will, on the air, behind bars. I mean, maybe you could talk a little about that, but I'm also curious to hear a little bit about, for you, having done this now 5-6 years, the sort of consequences that these jerks face, especially, you know, that they may be put behind bars, and the role your organization plays. What sort of repercussions have you experienced? I mean, threats, what kind of precautions do you need to take, et cetera?
It's interesting. When the organization was started in Southern California, and when I was living in Southern California, I was a freelance contractor, and so I had to make my contact information very available. And now that I have moved back to New York and, you know, this organization has picked up so much momentum, I have to be a lot more careful about how easy to find I am. I have received threats. Every time we get one, I copy it out to all of the board members, and I send it on to the district attorney of, you know, whoever prosecuted the case from the source of the threat, assuming I can figure out where it's coming from. But there are some definite safety concerns. My dog stays inside all the time. I don't want to be one of the, you know what, a case that was close to me already was in the database. I don't need to add another one.
Right. Yeah. Well, so let's say that, in a certain court case that's pending somewhere, today, tomorrow, whatever, prior to that, how might, somebody kind of, you know, building that case, tapped into PetAbuse.com, how might they have used it to sort of strengthen their case or make things more effective?
Well, and this happens a lot. A lot of these cases are being tried since animal cruelty is really sort of an emerging topic now. And all across the country, jurisdictions are starting to understand that this is an important issue. And cases are actually being prosecuted, whereas before it might have just been boys will be boys, or it was just a neighbor dispute. These cases are actually going to court now. And what's happening is we've got prosecutors that have never tried an animal cruelty case before. And that doesn't mean that they're bad prosecutors. It just means that the rules are very different. Instructing a jury is very different in an animal cruelty case because there is an emotional tie to that animal, but legally they're considered property. And so there's some very unique challenges with regard to prosecuting animal cruelty. And if they've never done it before, basically what we're able to do is provide, because our database search allows you to search by type of cruelty, type of animal, location, a whole slew of different searchable fields, a prosecutor can literally go up to our database, say, well, you know, I've got a hoarding case, and there was domestic abuse also involved, and there was elder abuse, and they can pull up cases that match their specific criteria and see how those cases were handled from start to finish. Sometimes they were handled well, sometimes they weren't. And even if it wasn't a successful prosecution, at least then the prosecutor can learn from someone else's mistake and say, okay, well, this obviously isn't going to work the way that I would have expected, so I need to try a different tack.
Mm. Well, again, we're speaking with PetAbuse.com founder Allison Giannotto. You can, too, by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Now, something you just said in that explanation, Allison, just made me think, I guess on the one hand, as you emphasized, that you know, juries need to be instructed to look at these things a certain way. But for those of us who are, you know, pretty bonkers about animals, having to view one as a piece of property, I guess, is sort of counterintuitive, to say the least. I mean, is there any, sort of pending legislation that we should know about, either, on a regional or national level that could help make it easier to either bring these cases or prosecute them more effectively?
Well, you know, there's always legislation going on all over the country, and mm-hmm. if you try and keep people up to date with that, we've got a section called Cruelty Laws where you can see not only which states are felony states where there are felony provisions, you can see what year that felony provision was enacted, what the maximum jail time is, what the maximum fine is, whether or not, and this is really interesting, this is something we're starting to see more of, whether or not counseling is part of possible sentencing, mandatory counseling, whether or not a ban on owning animals is a possibility within their sentencing guidelines, and which states have a pet protection order, which includes animals in protection orders for domestic abuse and situations like that. We're starting to see more and more of that, which is wonderful. We've recently started tracking this sentencing more specifically. That's not available to the public yet because we want to update a lot of the older cases that we have, but we're actually breaking it down to, for each case, was there jail time? Was it actually served jail time or was it suspended? Was there counseling? Was there a ban? Was there restitution? You know, what actually, breaking down the pieces of this sentencing to find out what actually is being doled out so we can compare. Well, let's see, this is a felony state. We've got a maximum jail time of 5 years, and the average felony case that was prosecuted got less than a year or no jail time.
Hmm.
So it'll allow us to really see in a very comprehensive way how well these states, you know, because everybody says we need better laws, we need better laws.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of really good laws out there.
That's not
to say that we shouldn't fight for more, but we do have a lot of really good laws in a lot of states, but they're not being used properly.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of difference. Let me just take one of the calls that we have, Allison.
Sure.
Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Allison Giannotto.
Timothy Ray in Sarasota. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Or good morning, actually.
Well, just on the cusp.
I guess this will be singing to the choir here, kind of. This issue of property or animals as property brings to mind, one of my favorite books is called Animals Are Soul, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to offer that to Allison because I can really respect the work that both of you are trying to do and trying to shore up the consciousness that we're encultured here. And I guess education is the first part of reaching people to help them understand the difference between a couch and a cockatiel or a chihuahua.
For sure.
Animals are soul, too.
Excellent. So you said it was Animals Are Soul?
Yeah, the title of the book is actually Animals Are Soul, T-O-O, also.
Oh, gotcha.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
That sounds great. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either. That's a great tip.
The author's name is Harold Klemp, K-L-E-M-P.
Klemp.
Okay.
I will pull that up on Amazon as soon as I hang up.
Well, I thank you for all the work that you're doing on behalf of our brothers in spirit who happen to be walking on four legs or maybe hopping around on two.
Or swimming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
all right.
You so much.
Thanks
or
for
swimming,
the...
too. Yes, exactly.
Thanks for the call and thanks for the tip.
Thanks for the good... keep up the good work for M&F.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
So Allison, what... you know, if one of us were to witness, God forbid, but anyway, some act of animal cruelty, what do you recommend we would do?
The first thing to do is that's a really broad question, but the blanket answer is to contact your local animal control or humane law enforcement. Depending on where you live, you may have animal control, you may have humane law enforcement, or you may have both. Some areas, animal control is sort of more towards stray dogs and issues like that, and humane law enforcement takes the lead in prosecuting or investigating animal cruelty cases, but really that's from a county-to-county type of thing. So the first thing to do, even before you witness anything, is to find out how your county is set up. You know, does animal control take cruelty calls, and if they do, what's their number? You know, have that information available to you. But certainly, you know, contacting the authorities is the most important thing. You know, our database is comprehensive, but I know for a fact that it doesn't represent the whole picture of what's going on out there because there are so many cases that are simply unreported.
Sure. So that's the thing, is take action, report a case, go to a court case if you can. But you know, on the other hand, of course, my temptation would be to you know, chase the person with a baseball bat, but I'm sure that's probably...
That is a valid temptation. The thing to realize, though, is that because a lot of the people who are abusing animals are the same people who are abusing people, and because a lot of these people are violent criminals, that can be a really dangerous situation.
Well, not to mention,
naturally, I don't recommend it.
Right, and I'm probably going to be less effective if I'm behind bars as well. So,
that's something else to be, you know, to consider is that, you know, you're not allowed to break the law while you're attempting to do the right thing.
Sure.
Why contacting the authorities is always going to be the best situation.
So you actually touched on something that both I was about to ask about, and then we got an email from a listener saying, hi, does your guest website document any overlap between animal abusers and child abusers?
As a matter of fact, we do.
Yep.
We have a very broad categorization of the abuse occurred within the context of a domestic dispute or argument. We also track whether or not the offender is involved with violent crime. And more recently, and also child or elder neglect. These are three separate things that you can search on in the database. But more recently, as I mentioned, we've added all of these new fields, and we're expanding it. Well, what we're actually doing is we have included the NIBRS classification system, which is the national reporting system the FBI uses. You know, when they issue the crime index, they tell you what the crime index is. These are the stats that they're using. And so using those categorizations, we're actually tracking more specifically now whether, you know, we know someone's a violent offender, but what kind? Are we talking robbery? Are we talking child molestation? What are we talking about here?
Sure.
And so although we've really just started that over the last couple of months, I would say within a year we'll have some really, really important and really groundbreaking data that nobody else has.
Wow. Cool. Well, this, of course, raises at least one or two questions in my mind, but there's some callers that are holding, and I'd rather get them to be able to participate. So let's take another call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Allison Giannotto on Talking Animals.
Is this me?
Yes, it is. You're on the air, sir. Yes.
Okay. This is... Well, I know I'm me.
Yes.
Anyway,
I can confirm that. Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I've been looking for you. Anyway, this is Nigel Watson with in St. Petersburg.
Okay.
And first to applaud your guest for what she's doing. I'm an activist too, just in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Mr. Singer. I think we ought to be working towards. Giving animals civil liberties on some level or other, beginning, of course, with cats, but that's just my own prejudice.
Sure.
But anyway.
Got to start somewhere. Yeah.
Well, I had one. I'm sure he was Gandhi in another life. But anyway, I have a question, and you may have half answered it. I was just listening to your last comments, and I've forgotten your name, and I'm sorry.
This is Allison.
I forget my name all the time.
Right. And unfortunately, we're running desperately short on time. So, yeah, if you could just quickly ask the question, we'll try to get it on.
The question is there, do you actually make any connection between, we all know that animal abuse is tied in with the very angry people, among other things. And I just wondered if you make a connection on your end. And if you know if these folks have mental health issues other than just abusing animals.
Oh, absolutely. We have a whole section on our website called The Abuse Connection that deals specifically with the connection between animal cruelty and interpersonal violence. And just to throw some stats out here to you, and our data is not fully representational because sometimes we'll get a report from an animal control officer, but we won't actually know that they have a history of violence. So from a statistical standpoint, we're not as bold on that, but several really significant studies have been done, including in 88% of 57 New Jersey families being treated for child abuse, animals in the home had been abused. Of 23 British families with a history of animal neglect, 83% had been identified by experts as having children at risk of abuse or neglect. And in one study of battered women, 57% of those with pets said their partners had harmed or killed the animals. One in four said that she stayed with the batterer because she feared leaving the pet behind. Those are some pretty powerful numbers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I'm afraid we are really out of time now. But Allison Giannotto, thank you so much again. It's petabuse.com, pet-abuse.com. And we didn't get to near enough things, and we had calls.
We never do.
Right, but we will have you on again, and we'll talk about other things we didn't get to today. And meanwhile, I hope people will visit the website. And thanks for your time today, Allison.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Duncan.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune, pretty much like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. There'll be a prize, your very own Talking Animals t-shirt. Come on, you know you want one. To the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. In this case, I'm looking for its song title and language it's being sung in. So it's named that animal tune on WMNF.
Nella vecchia fattoria, ia ia oh, dove c'è lo zio Tobia, ia ia oh, c'è un bel cortile, un orticello, un recinto col cancello, c'è vicino la ferrovia, ia ia oh, ia ia oh. Nella vecchia fattoria, ia ia oh.
Okay, well, it looks like maybe we do have a... Hi, can you name that animal tune? Can you name that animal tune? Hello? Hi, can you name that animal tune? Okay, well, we'll take a shot later. But anyways, I'm Duncan Strauss. We have reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs monthly, specifically the second Wednesday of each month. We'll be back August 8th. I hope you'll join me then. Please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss once again. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now. I'll be back later today at 4 o'clock, hosting the Sonic Detour, and be back August 8th on WMNF Tampa. We're closing out today's show with a little nod to the police tonight. It's a dinosaur animal song, and right into the WMNF News. Thanks again, WMNF Tampa.